stand for the reading of God's holy word. Still dealing with the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, message number 86, / Daniel fast encouragement. Message 22, believe it or not, this is day 40. All of my mathematicians are telling me that this is day 40. That does not mean the fast is over. It means that this is day 40. I know that some of you wish it was over, but it's not quite over until you finish this day. And for many of you, it will be 12 o'clock midnight. And others, it may be a little bit different. But when you set out to do something, unless you're physically not able, God wants you to finish it. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. And look at with me at verse 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, the Tigris River, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ophaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So I want you to see behind the scenes what's happening while Daniel was fasting and praying. There's a whole lot of stuff happening behind the scenes while you're praying and fasting that you don't see and that you don't know about, and you would not understand it all if you did. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the rain. We praise you and we thank you for the rainy days and the cloudy days, the overcast days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise you and we thank you for the sunshiny days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise you, Lord, when you give to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise you, Lord, when you take away from us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Holy Father God, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word. And thank you for speaking to our hearts already through your Holy Word. Thank you for being with us in a special way on yesterday. And we pray that you would empty us of ourselves. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Wash our sins away afresh and anew and through the blood of Christ. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us. And fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, from this time together. And we pray that you would rebuke and bind the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness and pride, the satanic spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, the satanic spirit that cannot stand any good work that you want done in the earth. And you will the devil will use insiders and outsiders to hinder your work, and to try to hinder it at least. And we pray that you would build a wall of protection around about us and hold those devilish people at bay, and have your Holy Word to go through freely for everybody who says, we have learned, they're for you, that is you, Lord, and your work, they're not. And so, Holy Father God, rebuke and bind the demonic spirits of Demas, the demonic spirit of Demas, from the hearts and minds of your people, and help your people to stand on your word, to walk by faith and not by sight, and to trust in you, to love you back, because you first loved them, to fear you, to respect you, to reverence you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, fill us with your Holy Spirit and manifest the fruit of your Holy Spirit in and through our lives in every way. And help us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. For we are reminded by your Holy Word today that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. My last day drinking green tea with no stevia, no honey, no maple syrup, no sugar, no nothing. And believe you me, drinking green tea or any kind of tea with no sweetener to me is a sacrifice. But those of you who have gone on this fast with me, you should be feeling a whole lot better. I will say also that this is the first fast of any kind that I am not eager to see it end. This is the first fast also that without, besides a couple of days, pardon me, of celebration, God covers everything and nobody covered it like God. But they go on to say, it is often said, you're not what you think, you are but what you think about you are. Did y'all get that? It is not what, you're not what you think you are. We all know that to be true. But what you think about you are. What do you think about? That's the real you. If you are going to change your life, you must first change the way you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What are you dwelling on? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about Stephen King's new book? Are you thinking about monsters, weird creatures, and evil and darkness? That's the real you. That comes from your wicked, evil heart and mind. Do you think like most gluttons, like myself, that food is not just for sustenance, but food is an event, and it is a reward. It is something we look forward to throughout the day. Or do you think, like my wife, that food is sustenance? It's just food to give you the strength to live on. And on and on we can go with that. If you're going to change your life, they said, you must first change the way you think. You need to get rid of stinking thinking about issues and about things. Your perceptions about God, about yourself, about life, about food, about health, and about everything else. Change always begins with new thinking. And that's what this is all about. And by the way, in some form, I will continue to preach and teach on this subject because this is a big subject, pun not intended, via preaching, via podcast. I will continue on this, not only for your good, but for my good. I want to learn as much. I want to permanently change my thinking regarding food, and so that I can still enjoy it, but not eat too much and not eat the wrong things. We must change of our mind. Amen, somebody. They go on to say the biblical word for personal change is repentance. Most people completely misunderstand the term repentance. The popular conception of repentance is stop sinning and mourning and crying and boo-hooing over your sin. which, by the way, most sinners don't do. Now, I witnessed a few of my children, once they trusted Christ as Savior at the age of 7, I had the greatest events of my life were leading my 7 children to the Lord at the age of 7. God has blessed me to do many great and wonderful things, traveling around the world, writing best-selling books, getting an education, seeing all of my children born into this world. I was there for that. But greater than that, my beloved, was being there when they were born again into the household of faith, when they were saved at the age of 7. I'm glad they graduated from high school and they graduated from college. That is wonderful. Great privilege of homeschooling them. We had many, many wonderful times in parks all over the country, running together, exercising together, eating together. 7 birthdays a year just for the children alone. 2 of my children born on my birthday. We have a big birthday together. They might want to have their own birthday at least once, but we have a big birthday together. My 2 baby children. Great times, wonderful times, but none can touch the day on their birthdays I led them to the Lord at the age of 7. And you know it's real and it's sincere when kids who don't know to cry begin to shed tears at trusting Christ as Savior. And I believe it's for most of them, the light of their lives. And for some, they'll get the impact of it by freight. But that's the most important thing that I've ever done in my life. And yes, most of my children, they shed tears. I didn't shed any tears. I might have shed a 1 or 2 because they were shedding tears, but they will shed tears. Tears of joy of getting saved. But that does not, in other words, you don't have to cry to repent. And I believe trusting Christ as Savior is a way of repenting. You're changing your direction. You're changing your mind from going against God and you're coming to the light. You're coming to God. The popular conception of repentance is stop sinning, quit doing bad things. But the word actually means to change your mind. It comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to change your mind, to change your perspective, to think in a different way, make a mental U-turn. We have folk here. We have folk who listen to us around the world who need to make a mental U-turn. You need to stop being what you are, acting the way you are, because as Les Brown has stated, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. You've got to change. The story of life, if you do it right, is a story of repentance. A story of making mental U-turns. A story of turning around and going back into the right direction. You may have to face the wind and up the hill while you're going, but it's the right direction. And there's nothing better than that. When you realize you're wrong, when you accept the fact that you have gone in the wrong direction and that you have wasted time and you have wasted money, and you have come to the conclusion that God's way is the right way, and therefore, even if you have to turn ever so slowly, you turn. Some have learned the hard way that sleeping around is the wrong way, and so they had to say, look, this has to end right now. And then you have to walk out of that hotel room door for the last time with probably the so-called love of your life, the one who really understood you, the one who turned you on just by thinking about her or him. And you have to make a mental U-turn. Everything in your body, everything in your being says, stay with this joker. Stay with this fine mamma jamma. But God, and only somebody who can make you turn around like that is God. The only somebody who can help you make that mental U-turn is God. Brother Dave Ramsey is helping hundreds and thousands and millions make a mental U-turn on their finances. Amen, somebody. Yes. He is the, what I call the prophet of finance, the prophet of money and understanding money in the right way and having true prosperity, which includes peace of mind. He's a prophet. He's more significant than many preachers in the church today who are trying to enrich themselves off of the people. Dave Ramsey has helped many people make, by the grace of God, and he gives Jesus the glory in every broadcast. He gives God the glory. He shares the word of God with people. And at the end, he'll tell you the only way you can really walk in financial peace is to walk with the Prince of Peace. He's a prophet on against debt. He preaches against the sin of debt. And he'll tell you in a heartbeat, I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you have the beans and rice every day of your life. You need to get out of debt. He told one lady last night, I want you. He said, you're a teacher? Good. Okay. Can you do some tutoring on the side? Good. Get it done. I want you to double your income. You need to do that. I want you working all of that. I want you working so hard you're exhausted. As soon as your head hits the pillow, you're gone. He likes to tell folks, get after it. Let's get it done. Let's get that debt taken care of. Let's get it done. Prophet who preaches against debt. And then we come down to our sin, the sin of gluttony. We need to make a mental U-turn. And slowly, ever so slowly, by the grace of God, I'm turning around. I'm enjoying vegetables now like I never have enjoyed them before. Just a year ago, a year and a half ago, if you told me about eating some cauliflower, I would have looked at you like you were crazy and been very mad with you. Get out of here. But last night I had some cauliflower. And it was good. By the grace of God, ever so slowly, I'm making that mental U-turn, and you got to make it too. Those of us in the church who are gluttons, with the evidence of not speaking in tongues, but the evidence of moving our mouths and moving our mouths to eat too much. That's the evidence, and the evidence of the fat gut belly, the evidence of being overweight. I know you don't like it, but it's true. And fat all over. Fat stomachs, fat arms, fat thighs, fat buttocks. Feet can hardly walk. We need to make a mental U-turn. We need to make a mental change. We need to repent. And the reason why I'm going to continue this whole thing, either through a sit-down podcast or preach another 100 messages, whatever God leads me to do, I'm going to stick with it, not only for your good, but for my good, because we all need to repent of this in the church who have this problem. Thank God for those who don't. Of course, if you change, they go on to say, your mind, your behavior will follow. But repentance starts in the mind, not in actions. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's repent. Let's repent of the sin of gluttony. Let's repent of the sin of eating too much. Let's repent of the sin of overdoing it in that area. And then we will reap the benefits. Just like Dave Ramsey is the prophet against debt, I am the prophet against gluttony. My gluttony and yours. And by the grace of God, we will not have any long-term relapses at all once we permanently repent. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you so much for your holy word that we read earlier. And due to some technical issues that threatened the hearing of the message, you led me to go ahead on and deal with this portion. And I believe that with all of my heart, the serious talk that we just had regarding repentance and changing our minds regarding the sin of gluttony will suffice for today. And you're giving me the liberty to go ahead and close it down for today and preach on the sermon that you gave, that you have prepared for me on Thursday, as I will be preaching on prayer tomorrow by your grace, if you so say so, and if it's your will, if I live, and if you tarry, you're coming. And we pray that you'll bless and anoint that message on tomorrow and this message on Thursday. But help everybody to hear the message today. And you design things in the way that you see fit. And I cannot imagine a more fitting way to close out these 40 days of fasting other than to deal with how that we as Christians need to truly repent of the sin of gluttony. And we need to turn, we need to make a spiritual mental U-turn in that area regarding food. We need to turn around. We need to repent. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to repent and to, by your grace, change our mind about food and what we should eat and what we should not, and how that we should not overeat. And strangely, Lord, as you know, eating vegetables, for the most part, does not lend itself to overeating. For who wants to overeat cauliflower? And who wants to overeat broccoli? And who wants to overeat okra? So, Holy Father God, I don't have a desire to do that. But I thank you so much for changing my mind and helping me already since November to start loving things as broccoli, okra, cauliflower, and I've been able to deal with the salad thing for a while, as long as I have the right kind of dressing, but you're dealing with me about that as well. And so I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of other people. I'm hearing reports here and there. And Lord, we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We thank you for the hundreds, yea, thousands of folks that come in and tune in and go to the sites even after I am done preaching live. And on all of the platforms just last week, thousands came. And it looks like we're going to have a higher number even this week. And we thank you for what you've done. Help everybody to hear your holy word, confess their sins, repent if it's not in this area, in whatever area it is. For we all have our besetting sins and our weights that hold us back and hinder us. Change us from the inside out and help people to repent. And some who know they need to repent, but they're living a lie and they're too proud to repent. They're too proud to confess the evil that they've done. Help them to confess it. Help them to tell you about it and to at least be honest with you because you already know about it, and then to become transparent so as to help others who are struggling with the same thing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for all of us. Do your name. Amen. Now, beloved, in this series, as we focus on overcoming today the sin of gluttony, and managing our bodies, taking care of our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our lives, and that is our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, those of you who eat right and who exercise regularly, must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition, and that's good, till the day you die, but you will still die. You can rest assured. And I'm constantly shocked at how human beings are so self-deceived. They walk around here with their proud selves, not understanding. They're passing by funeral homes every day. They're passing by graveyards every day. And somehow think that they're going to live forever on this earth. And that's just not the case. One day, you will be 6 feet under. And you need to get prepared for that. We all will. And the only thing that will matter at that time is the condition of your eternal soul. For you see, your soul was given to you by God, and it shall never die. Is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and the consequences of sin. He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in that awful place called hell. Now, beloved, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, you can trust Him as your Savior today. The Bible plainly and clearly and simply says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe what John the Baptist said, that He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That is the gospel. And it is simple and it is free. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to go to church for it. You don't have to give any money to the church. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. A thief on the cross got saved on the cross. He never came down to get baptized. All of those things are wonderful and good. but they have nothing to do with your salvation. In order to be saved from sin and hell, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, if you want to be saved today, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard the gospel that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. All you have to do now is receive him into your heart. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. And I'll be glad to lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you and that I have done evil in your sight. I've lied, I've stolen, I've lusted, and other things I've done. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. And Holy Father God, I ask you to save my soul, as I now believe with all of my heart, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. And help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. He will save you. He will save you just now. Jesus will save you. Jesus will save you just now. Dear friend of mine, if you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. When God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.